This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing, with thought for today, the Om. Now, we all hear the Om, and we hear it done beautifully and normally. Now, everyone doesn't have a Mario Lanza voice, but we sing anyhow. And if we wiggle and giggle while we're singing, that's okay. What is the Om all about? And that's a question many of us ask from time to time. What is the Om all about? We're singing in here, doing the Om, and our handyman is out on the deck, preparing the deck for a new carpet, and he hears us singing the Om in here. And he thinks to myself, that's a pretty song, that's a pretty melody, that's a pretty tone that they're getting. And he says, I wonder why they're doing that. I guess it's just because it's pretty. Well, actually, that's why we do it, because it's pretty. But there are other benefits that can come from the Om. The Om will go into any definition you want in the Hindu, in the ancient teachings, because the Om is something that has come down from the far, far, far distant past. And I think, Om, you know, we sing out in the Swiss Alps. Now, Heinz, are you an Alpine Swisser, a singer? No? Okay. But others, people are, like Irene. Irene sings the Alpine song for us. She yodels. And as she does this, she lets her voice roll through these various tones. Now, let's just take the Alps for an illustration. And you're walking through the Alps, and you hear people yodeling, and you think, how pretty. Or you hear the horn that blows into the Alps, and it echoes back through the hills. And what's it all about? Now, we all heard the song, the hills are alive with the sound of music. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that everywhere in life is music. Everywhere is the sound of music. And it is only available for you who quiet yourself, even for an instant, to listen to the music. Now, why do you think they had the Om in the beginning? Can you see a mother beside her child who is very ill, and she's, Om, and she's moaning? That's not a very pleasant moan, is it? But that's an Om. Can you see the girlfriend who was just kissed by her boyfriend for the first time? And she says, Om, Om, Om. Can you see the girl who says to the boy, yes, I'll marry you. He says, Oh! He shouts for joy and dances around, you know. Interesting in them. You see, we think the Om is just some mystical term that has come out of the wee ancient times, and that this mystical term is sacred and wonderful. Well, it is sacred and it is wonderful, but it doesn't necessarily come out. It perhaps did happen in the mystical time, but it happens today just as much in everyday life. Om! Come out and play! You know? And the coach hollers across the floor, Om! And he gets the attention of John, come here. But first says, Om! Listen sometime. You'll be surprised how often the Om is being spoken, and people don't even know they're doing it. They're just getting attention. And what does a doctor do? A doctor is one of the most interesting persons who uses the Om. He comes up to you and he pushes you here, Om. Om, Om. Om, 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 Om. And you think to yourself, my God, am I dying or living, you know? And then when the doctor gets all done, he says, I can't find a thing wrong with you. You're fit as a fiddle, you know, ready to be played. And so you say, wow, oh, mom, 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 dad, everybody, I'm all perfect. You know? And they say, well, we knew that. You were the one who had a tummy ache and called it everything under the sun. You went to the doctor to prove that what you had was what was in the symptoms in the book and the internet and all that sort of stuff. And so the doctor did not agree with you. He was not one of these doctors who wanted to make money. He was a doctor who wanted to be a doctor. Now, what's the first thing that a lawyer says when he has a client? He says, now what have we got here? You know? Or does he say, you're guilty? Now, admit you're guilty, and then we'll take it from there. Well, what does the court say? The court says, you are innocent until proven guilty. See? And so, but the attorney doesn't say that. The attorney looks at the case and says, you did it, you know? You're the only one that could have done it. You did it. But I didn't. You did it. And later they find out you didn't. Well, now, the attorney wasn't on your side from the very beginning. If the attorney's going to be on your side from the very beginning, he's got to believe in you from the very beginning that you didn't do it. And he's proving that you didn't do it and showing that you didn't do it, not showing that you did do it or that you were guilty or whatever. Now, Ohm comes into play in all these areas. Oh, hum, oh, hum. What do you say when you go to sleep? Oh, hum. You know, oh, hum. Oh, hum. Oh, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. Oh, hum. Yeah. And what does it really mean? Well, Heinz, who's number one?
I am number one.
And Heinz, who names things in your world?
I do.
And Heinz, how is everything in your world?
Glorious and beautiful and divine.
Okay, now, if any person names anything not nice in their world, what's wrong with them? They don't like themselves, do they? Anybody who does not say everything is nice about themselves, they don't like themselves. Now, when you go to the movie and the theater lady says, you're too young to come in the movie here. This is an adult movie. And you say, I am too big. Look at here. I'm so tall. And the lady says, but you're still too young. You know? And do you think that kid is going to always want to be older? Mm. No. When his parents invite him to play games that are the age for him, encourage him to do the things that are the age, you can't do what your older brother does because your older brother's older, you know. But I want to do it too. If he can do it, I can do it. You wait. When you're older, maybe you can do it too. Maybe you won't want to. But you can't do everything your older brother does, and you can't do things your younger sister does. Because your younger sister gets away with things. Because she theoretically doesn't know yet. But, you see, that's where the Ohm comes in. The Ohm is so beautiful. It's whatever term we want to give it. Now, many of the Hindu terms for Om is God, God be with you, God in you, and they have some long phrases of what it means. But all that Om means is it is a response to life.
Yes.
Oh, I heard it. Oh, or, oh, I feel so good, you know. And it's the same either way. Either way. Now, what are you tying your Om to? Are you tying your Om to the idea that all is good, all is beautiful, all is wonderful, all is divine? Are you tying your Om to, I like me, I like me, I like me Om, 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 Om, I like me Om, I like me Om, I like me. Have you ever tried that? You know, have you ever tried playing games with these phrases to give them a little more pizzazz in your daily experience? Try that. And say, we got an internet from our friend Henry again this morning. And Henry is into baking a cake. And he is such a silly boy. That was what my topic was going to be this morning. And he was such a silly boy. And he was telling us about the ingredients that he puts into it of unconditional love. And that without unconditional love, the cake would lose much of its wonderfully. And then I wrote him and I said, yes, you're right. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are not to let the world rule us, but we rule the world. And how do we rule the world? We rule the world by ruling ourselves, by first liking ourselves. Now, could you ever bake a bad cake? No, you couldn't. If you like yourself. Now, if you don't like yourself, you're going to bake bad cakes. You say, well, how would that be? Because if you don't like yourself, you don't think you have to be completely honest with yourself. You don't think that you have to put in exactly the amount of salt it calls for, or the amount of sugar it calls for, or the amount of flour, or whatever other things it calls for. You think, you don't have to. And if I don't have the right kind of chocolate, I can use another kind of chocolate. Well, you can't. Not for that cake. Now, if you're creating a new cake, then create a new cake. And say, I have this big, big, big chocolate piece here, and I am going to bake a cake. And I'm going to bake a chocolate cake. You know, that's the first priority there. And it's going to be a good cake. Now, let's see. In all my other cakes, I put these various things because they are very important to bring the flavor out. But if you miss any one of those things because you don't have it, then don't call your cake mud pie. See, mud pie. Don't call it a mud pie cake. If you call it a mud pie cake and it's not a mud pie cake, everybody's going to dig into that mud pie cake thinking it's a mud pie cake, and they're going to say, it's just a chocolate cake. You know? And it's probably a very good chocolate cake, but it's just a chocolate cake. You see, when you go to something and you expect it to be a mud pie, for instance, and it's not, then people are going to think you are not an honest baker. You are not an honest person. So, it is in life. If we go through life and we are not true to ourselves, if we are of the world, not of ourselves, but of the world, we can be in the world, but we don't have to be of it. If we're of the world, then we make do. We think anything goes. Nobody's, I can see this way and that way, the stop sign, nobody's there, I'm going to go right on through. I can see this way and that way, the train tracks, there's no train on the track. My God, you see a train on the track, big as all outdoors. And I'm not going to stop, I'm just going to drive through. I drove up to this train track here on La Posta the other day, and I looked both ways and didn't say a thing. But I did stop. And then I looked again, and not more than 10 feet away from me on the right-hand side was a little push cart that these guys were using, and they were just heading right in front of me. Well, now, if I hadn't really stopped and really looked carefully, I would have run right into that little push cart. And it's big as all outdoors, but it's only a little thing. I was expecting a great big train, you know. And life gives us different deals now and then. Occasionally, where there's supposed to be a train, there's only a push cart. And we have to keep our eyes open very clearly to see it. And we can't just go through it because we can go through it. There's nothing there. The stop sign says stop. And then what does it say at a railroad track? Stop, look,
and listen.
And listen. Now, what's the listen for?
Well, a train generally makes noise.
That's right. A train generally makes noises. And if you listen, that means you're stopping long enough to observe well. I came around the corner one day down on Old 80, and I was pulling out. I'd stopped properly and everything, and then I looked both ways, and then I started pulling. Oh, there was a car. There was a car out of nowhere for my vision. It came. It was on the left, and I hadn't seen it. You know, right on the side. Easy. I should have seen it just as easy as it could be, but it came along, and it wasn't going fast, but it all of a sudden was right there. Now, where did it come from? How did it come from? It was merely saying to me, follow the rules. Stop, look, and listen. Just because it's not a train track doesn't mean you don't stop looking. The listen part is to take time to observe carefully. Now, why are there accidents at all? We read an article about that a while back, and the article said that this throughout the world, different countries are taking off road signs. They're taking off sharp turn ahead, and they're taking off speed limit signs, and they're taking off all these things, and they're taking off stop signs at intersections. And they said, in the various places where they have tried this out by taking it off, accidents have dropped down to almost 0%. 0%, you know. And it's amazing. And then why? Because people were not told what to do. They had to do what they knew what to do. They were driving and they felt insecure because the road was going to turn. They couldn't see where it was turning. Who knows what's around the edge of that road, around that corner? And so they slowed down. They drove more carefully. They had less accidents. And it was amazing. But when we are in the world, see, when we're of the world, our first desire when we're of the world is to violate any rule that we can and get away with it. This is human nature. And if you can go through a stop sign and not be caught, if you can speed, you tell me, and then I'll know too, of 100 cars on the road, how many cars are driving the limit, the speed limit? And how many cars are driving under it or over it? Well, a few are driving under it, not too many, but a few. Usually they have some special problem. But what's the speed limit when you're pulling a trailer?
55.
Now, have you seen anybody driving 55 pulling a trailer? And Ellen says she saw herself. Well, that's good. Now, you see, we just do not follow the rules like we should. And because we don't, we're being of the world. We're being anti-everything. When we follow the rules, we are being in the world. Why did Caesar say to Jesus, give unto Jesus whatever is Jesus and Caesar's whatever is Caesar's? Why did the statement come from Jesus then? Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Give unto the world that which the world requires. And give unto God that which God requires. Now, what does the world require? The world requires that we be in the world, but not of the world. To be in the world means that we follow the rules of the world. Now, we watched this monster movie last night. It's a cartoon. And this one man, creature, was in the world, but not of the world. And he did not cooperate with the rules. He was totally inharmonious with the rules of the game because he could make himself invisible. And then he fought his opponent as an invisible person, and his opponent didn't have a chance. He didn't know where he's coming from. And he did all sorts of mean things, you know. But of course, the interesting thing about the monster movie is they were riding on these doors, and they were jumping up the levels and down the levels on the doors and holding on to them and doing all sorts of things. Totally impossible. Totally unrighteous. Totally not of the world at all. And yet, everyone enjoyed it, theoretically. Everyone looked at the film and thought, how charming, how wonderful. And because you look at the film and you see how charming and how wonderful, then you are being of the world. And now, what is it that makes you of the world?
Judgment.
When you judge. So if you weren't judging, then you were in the world and you were just passing through, cooperating with the world, not shaking any boats, not getting anybody's attention, just passing through and being a wonderful, joyful, fantastic being in the process. And that's pretty nice, isn't it? That's a lot of fun. And this is where we are, and this is where we're going, and this is what our values are. So, have a lovely day, and be in the world, but not of the world. and know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.